Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the responsible day for the 22nd of Cheshvan. We're going to do a couple of tshuvot, two and maybe a third, by Rav Vadya Yosef from the 22nd of Cheshvan, because the first two, the ones that I thought were really interesting, are a little short, so it's fun to get to know Rav Vadya better. You know, there was a time when we were never seeing him, and now we're seeing him a lot, which is great for all of us. And so let's see a couple of tshuvot that he wrote on the 22nd of Cheshvan at different times in his life. So in Yabia Omer, Chelik Vav, part 6 of Yabia Omer, the 6th volume, in Yoredeya Simon Chet, the 8th responsum in the Yoredeya section of that volume, from the 22nd of Cheshvan of Tavshin Lamed of 5730 of 1969, he was asked by the head of the kashrus in Israel, but who gives like kashkachos to places. Question was, in certain hotels, they wanted to know if after a meat meal, they could provide, so he calls it a chalav sinteti, a synthetic milk, meaning a non-dairy creamer or a non-dairy milk. So the question is that not a marit ayin that the people are having milk right after meat? And doesn't it look bad? And therefore, shouldn't be some kind of a problem? So in discussing this, we're going to get into all sorts of marit ayin questions that will give us a sense of when we do or don't worry about marit ayin, where the people who see us might get the misimpression that we're violating the Torah. So the place that this discussion starts is in a whole different area, in Kritut, in Kratos, actually. I always used to say Kritos, but I think we say that it's Kratos, meaning multiple Kares. But on Chav Aleph Amid Bet, 21b, in the Gemara there, Rav says, Omar Rav, Dam Dagim, if you took the blood of fish, now halachically, the blood of fish is allowed. The prohibition of dam is the dam is the blood of animals and birds, but not the blood of fish. So if you have the blood of fish in some kind of a container or collected somewhere, whatever you're going to do with it, let's say you're going to use it in a recipe, whatever one's going to do with it. I don't know how these things work in terms of blood, but in the time of the Gemara, at least, there were people who were going to use blood for food purposes. So it's the blood of fish and it's allowed. So Rav says, but if you have it in a container, just collected together as a group, it's usher, he says. So the Gemara says, that's odd. We have a brayta that says the blood of fish, dag dagim, is mutar afilu l'chadchila. You could have it even just, l'chadchila means it's fine, right? It b'diavad would mean, let's say I cooked a dish with it, hadn't realized that I should be having it, so then we would say, well, if it's already done and the only choice is to throw it out, the other food, so you don't have to. That would be like a b'diavad if it was already done. So l'chadchila means, if somebody comes to me and says, I don't have to cook it with the blood of fish, but I'd like to, may I? So this brayta seems to say it's perfectly fine. So we say hahi di it be kaskasim. There, when it was in the container, right? So it was all collected together. It had kaskasim in it. It had the scales of the fish in it, meaning that in the way it's being presented, it was obvious to everybody who would see it, this is the blood of fish because it has the scales in it. Whereas when Rav said it's usser, what he meant was it doesn't have any scales in it, and therefore people who see it will look at it and think that it could be the blood of animals. And that's the way it's paskin in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Yeredei and Samak Vav, that you have the fish, if you have the fish, the blood of fish, if it's all gathered in one container, then it's a marit ayin problem. It looks too much like blood, and therefore, if something makes it clear that it's the blood of fish, which is permissible halachically, then you're going to be okay. That's going to be an important principle for us. There are situations where something looks prohibited. If we have a way to make it clear that it is permissible, that makes it less of a problem. So there's another example there in Kretut, where Rashi, and it's also Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you have the blood of a person. So the blood of people is asur, the Gemara says, impeirish mimenu, if it's left the person's body. So how would that be an example? Because of Marizan, because it looks like blood. Therefore, it says, let's say somebody bit into a piece of bread, when they pull and they chew and swallow, but when they pull the bread away, the rest of the loaf, there's red on the bread. So that means their teeth were maybe a little sensitive. Something was wrong with their in there, and when it came off, there's got them now. The truth is that the blood of people, the Gemara is saying, isn't really usher because it's not included in the Torah's prohibition of blood. Not that we're recommending it, but it's not really usher. But if it's on the bread, it looks like it's a problem, right? It looks like it could be the blood of an animal, and therefore you have to wipe off that bread of all the blood. But if there's blood between somebody's teeth, the Gemara says, motzeh, so you could just swallow it if he wants to. Not that he's required to, but if he wants to, because there's no prohibition there in that problem. And Chatzav HaSefer Yerim, the Rishonim noted that that sounds like it's a problem even if you didn't collect it in any kind of a container, that it's a Maris Ayin issue. Right? That would be true of all blood. So maybe even the blood of fish you'd have to worry about. Meaning Rav spoke about when it's in a container together. But the Yerim is saying from the example of people blood, it would sound like it's a problem wherever it looks like the blood is noticeable and disconnected from its source such that it could look like animal blood. And therefore you have the problem. So that's one set of situations that don't really come up perhaps so often today, except for the example of people and getting blood on food. So there's the example, I guess, if somebody has, you know, problems with their teeth and they get them the food, to know that from the Maris Ayin problem, because it'll look like they're eating blood, they have to take care of it. But perhaps a much more common question, now coming closer to the question that was asked of Rav Avadya Yosef, which is the Gemara, the Rashba has a tshuva where he was asked, what about meat cooked with mother's milk? Right, with breast milk. So again, breast milk halachically is not milk in terms of the prohibitions of basar b'chalav. The prohibition of basar b'chalav is meat in the milk of an animal, and so that's where you have a basar b'chalav. So theoretically, it should be okay. So right. So if a woman expressed milk into a container, that milk doesn't qualify halachically as milk for these purposes. And the question was, is it allowed or is it like the blood of fish and therefore it's a problem? So his answer was, he thinks that it's a problem to cook it and also to eat it if it's noticeable. So theoretically, so meaning the Rashba seems to assume, if I'm going to mix in mother's milk for whatever reason into a recipe and nobody will be able to tell that it was cooked with milk, then he seems to think it's fine. So the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe there, the Ramah, this is part of the story of the Ramah's life, is that the Ramah spent his life, it's an odd thing, thinking to write books that Rav Yosef Karo wrote just before him. So he thought to write a commentary on the tour that would expand on the tour's ideas, and he was going to call it Darkei Moshe. And before he got a chance to, really, the Shulchan Aruch had already written, Rav Yosef Karo had already written the Beit Yosef. So the Ramah's Darkei Moshe became sort of notes within the Beit Yosef. But it's a much more minor work. And then a similar thing happened with the Shulchan Aruch and his writing his glosses. So there he writes that he had heard Shamarti Shemaharshal, that Rav Shlomo Luria, he understood the halacha of Dam Dagim, of the blood of fish, to mean that you can't have Bisar Of. This is the Maharshal talking. The Maharshal held that you couldn't even have chicken with almond milk. Right? We have almond milk today, they had almond milk back then, so almond milk obviously is not milk halachically. So he held, the Maharshal held, that he thought that the halacha of Marit Ayin, the halacha that you can't act in a way that people could look at and think of as being a problem, being a prohibition, would apply even to chicken in almond milk. Unless the way out of it was to leave almonds by the side so everybody would see the almonds and know that it's almond milk and not regular milk. Otherwise, you have a Marit Ayin problem. You have a problem of people getting the wrong impression, which already lets us know, by the way, that even according to the Machmirim, even according to the most stringent views, if there's a way to, inherent to the act itself, make it clear that it's not the act that people might think that it is, that wouldn't be a Marit Ayin problem anymore. So that's an interesting thing to think about, what the ways might be. In the case of cooking meat in, or eating meat with milk that's not really milk, so a good example is almond milk. One way around it was to put halav shkedi, to put the almonds themselves, other almonds themselves, around. And people would say, what are the almonds there for? You say, oh, it's almond milk, and you'd know. The Ramah himself didn't think that the chumrah of Rav Shlomo Luria was necessary to follow, because he says, dam is different. Blood is different because it's an isur karet. Because if somebody eats actual blood, so that's a violation of the Torah at a karet level. That's such a serious level that we might go even further in worrying about Marit Ayin. Meaning, the Ramah is saying, dam dagim, the fish of blood, isn't really usur, but we're going to worry about it in terms of Marit Ayin, of looking too much like blood. That's because the blood prohibition is so serious, one gets a karet for it if they do it on purpose, etc., etc., etc. But it says something about the severity of the prohibition, such that even if I'm not doing it at all, even if it's a Marit Ayin issue, and it's where people get the wrong impression, so it's all those steps. But nonetheless, by virtue of the fact that dam, that eating blood, if done intentionally and willfully, would be a karet, that means that we step back and we want to be that careful about it. Whereas, the Ramah says, chicken in the actual milk, is derabanan, right? Bisar of halachically, the meat of birds is not meat for basar b'chalav purposes. It's milk. It's not, and therefore it's derabanan. It is on a rabbinic level. It is so. Therefore, he says so. For to worry about the marit ayin of a rabbinic basar b'chalav, we don't hold that way. And the Ramah paskins that way in the Shulchan Aruch as well, because what the Ramah writes there in the Shulchan Aruch in Pei Zayin's If Dalet of Yoredei, says Vinhagu, the custom is to make a milk out of almonds, umenichim bo bisar of, and you leave chicken in it, and you can cook chicken in it, or you can, you know, dip chicken in it, whatever you want to do with it. But if you're going to do it with meat, he says, the Ramah says, yesh lani yashkedim, then you should put the almonds around it because of marit ayin. Meaning as soon as, it's not that it has to be a curry, as soon as there would have been a biblical prohibition, if whatever people are getting the wrong impression about turned out to be true, then already we have to put in something in place. The Bach, however, wrote, V'linira divrei ha-maharshal ikar. The Bach held that the Maharshal was more correct, and the reason the Bach said that was because we've seen the Rabbanans where we worry about marit ayin in public, and in terms of the Asorah Bitsina, lo Esra Labadel Raita, but to do it in private, nobody else is around, that might be where we have a distinction between Rabban and Zorai. So the Bach held that even the marit ayin problem would be a problem even for chicken with milk. But the Pri Chadash, who we mentioned yesterday because the Pri Chadash had met the Chacham Tzvi, although it turns out the Pri Chadash died, I looked it up afterwards, the Pri Chadash died very young, unfortunately, sadly passed away very young. So he must have met the Chacham Tzvi just a few years before he passed away. He was a young man, and that might be a reason why he didn't speak up when the Chacham Tzvi disagreed with him. Who knows? In any case, so the Pri Chadash, in his work, Yiskim Lahakel Bisar Of Pichalav Shkedim, he thought that, like the Ramah, he agreed with the Ramah that, or he agreed to follow the Ramah that chicken or bird meat, fowl, in Chalav Shkedim, in almond milk, should be allowed, because he says when the Rashba prohibited Chalav Isha, mother's milk, because of Marit Ayin, he says that's a whole Chiddush of the Rashbas, that's a whole new idea of the Rashbas, and we shouldn't add to Chidush, meaning when great predecessors come up with new prohibitions, we accept those when they're authoritative people doing it, but that's not the kind of thing that we add to and make more examples of. We don't make Gezerot Mishum Marit Ayin, we don't make Marit Ayin ideas up on our own, unless it's in the Gemara explicitly, because if not, he says, let's prohibit Bisar Chaya Balini Kor, let's require taking out all the fat of chayote, of venison, of deer, of animals that aren't behemoth, that aren't domesticated animals like cow and sheep, let's, you know, require taking all the fat off so people shouldn't make the mistake of thinking, oh, fat is mutar. So we don't do that. So that's another interesting thing to think about, because often I've heard many times people say, well, we should always act in a way that people can't ever get the wrong impression. So there's some truth to that. There's a pasuk of Yitem Nikim Hashem Yisrael. We should make sure that people don't see us the wrong way. But in terms of specific obligations of marit ayin, of avoiding those kinds of misimpressions, so there, the Pri Chadash was saying we don't make up these things on our own. We have a lot of things we should say is aser, and he points out a Tosos in the Kulin that said explicitly that when the Chazal made a gzera, when the Chazal made an ordinance or a protective rule, we don't extrapolate from those. Right, we don't say, oh, if they made it here, they must have meant it there too, and there too. We don't do that unless the Gemara itself makes those comparisons. So that's those are important fundamental principles of marit ayin. There are many cases where we worry halachically about misimpressions, and that creates obligations halachically. But that it's only when, or there might only be when, if it's a new idea, when it's the exact example that was given, and we don't extrapolate from there unless we have specific reason to think that we're supposed to extrapolate and notice that this is similar to that. And therefore, it says, so based on all that, he says, it's not only that the Ramah, who had said that when it came to the Rabbanans, you don't have to worry about marit ayin, so he would clearly think that that in the case of this whatever milk they were using in the you know, this non-dairy milk or cream, he calls it chalav tzimchoni, a vegetarian kind of milk after a meat meal, that you shouldn't make a gzeira, right? Why? Because eating, so the Ramah had said eating, oh, I'm sorry, because the Ramah had said, remember, that you don't do it for fowl, for bird meat, you wouldn't create a new thing because it's only Drabbanan. So Rav Yosef says, look at that. Well, eating real milk after a meat milk is only Drabbanan, right? So even if it's at the same meal, it's only Drabbanan, right? It's eating them together that's a problem. It's cooking them together, eating them when they've been cooked together. But eating them one after the other, we don't do it, but we don't do it because it's a Drabbanan issue. Therefore, according to the Ramah, Mari Zion issues don't come up there, and therefore it should be fine. But Rav Avad Yosef says, but even according to Maharshal, who had said you couldn't do it with chicken and milk together, right, with almond milk, unless you made a wing, so they're saying that you would be gozer in a Drabbanan for Mari Zion. You could say that's only Basar Of Bechalav when they're being eaten together. Why is that? Because the Mari Zion is, you people see the act that you're doing, and within the act that the person is doing, there would seem to be a prohibition. I see a person eating, ingesting meat and milk at the same moment. So that creates a married iron problem. But in our case, if the person is drinking the, you know, coffee with vegetarian milk, with almond milk, with non-dairy creamer that looks like milk, I don't see any meat at the time. I may intellectually know that 10 minutes ago he had meat, but Rav Yosef is saying, but Marit Ayin is that the act that I'm witnessing itself gives the sense of a prohibition. Now, if the act I'm witnessing is actually prohibited, that would be a problem, right? If it was real milk, that would be a problem. But there's nothing in the act that the person is doing of drinking milk that is actually prohibited. It's only prohibited on the background of the fact that we think that he's eaten meat before, and that's what we're talking about here. And he says, and I found a similar idea written by the Knesset HaGadolah, who said that he saw that in Kushta, in Constantinople, their custom was they would have rice that had been cooked with almond milk after they'd eaten some kind of a meat product, a meat concoction, a meat, you know, dish. And that was the common custom, and there are great rabbis who see it, they don't say anything about it, right? So that would be for the same reason, because what they would be saying is that even that since milk after meat is drabanan, right after meat, and here's even better, because there's no actual milk, right? It's orez, it's rice that was cooked with the milk, so you can't even see the milk. That might have helped. In any case, so the Rav Yosef then adds, Knesset HaGdola adds a snif lahatir. According to the Rush had written that when we have a mission that says Ashirayim v'hakalach in b'hem mishum kul ayim, but they're aster because of barid ayim, it's a case there of whether or not it's kilayim to plant them together because they look like, you know, they look like wool, or they look like linen. But he says nowadays, when we have a lot of silk clothing, everybody recognizes silk clothing, ain lachush the barid ayim. You don't have to worry about it. Umutar le for meshi beveged semer. You can take this, so silk is not linen, I think is the point that he's making. So it's actual silk, it's not a real kilayim. And since since everybody knows that there's this other option that's a mutter option, then all of a sudden you don't have to worry that it'll look like shatnez. And that's what the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch paskin. So here too, he says, since there's this thing called non-dairy creamer out there, or this thing called vegetarian milk out there, everybody knows about it, we don't have to worry anymore about Marit Ayin, he says, because everybody will know what you're doing, and it's just a common thing in the common custom, and therefore he thinks it should be fine. As the Tiferet Yisrael, who wrote an important commentary on the Mishnah, and has a thing about Shabbos, where he says we don't worry about Marit Ayin unless there's something in the act which makes it look a little more usser than mutter. But in our case, it's not, because everybody knows the situation. Therefore, he thinks it's fine that you can, and that's why he also says there's a minhag that people are allowed to use matzah meal. Right? Matzah meal looks like flour, and people use it to bake things and to fry things. So you see, you know, breaded fish on Pesach, breaded whatever it is, like breaded chicken on Pesach. So how could you do that as an Amari Zion problem? The answer is everybody knows that people use matzah meal or cake flour, whatever they use, right? All those flours that they use that are kosher to Pesach. So he says that's an Amari Zion issue. So we learned a lot about the Mari Zion questions. Do we do it only the Raisas or also the Rabbanans? That's a machloket between the Maharshal and the Ramah. And then the question is it only in that particular act? Rav Yosef says it's only in that act, when in the act itself there's the problem. And if there's an obvious answer and explanation for how people are doing this, that also makes it not a problem by Zion anymore. That is our first tshuva for the 22nd of Cheshvan from Rav Yosef. The second one, which from the 7th volume of Yabia Omer, again in Yeridea section, the 4th response, it was from the 22nd of Cheshvan of Tufshin Nunbet of 1991. and he's writing to a Rav in Morocco. And it's a question that I remember coming up when I was in Eretz Yisrael the first time. And more even the second time. When I was in Israel, I became aware of it. So like the 85, 86, I was in Eretz Yisrael. And people were also talking about the problem of Basar Kofu. The problem of Basar Kofu was at the time, it may still be true, the Israelis got a lot of their meat from Argentina. I think it was less expensive when it came from Argentina. So how you got to transport meat from Argentina to Israel? You're going to freeze it. So they would freeze it before they removed all the blood. Meaning, a lot of the blood comes out in the act of shechit, in the act of slaughtering an animal. But then you have to do malicha, you have to salt it, and then you have to soak it, right? So that they wouldn't do in Argentina. So they wouldn't fully kosher meat. And I think that's because once you start that process, the freshness starts going out right away, I think. In any case, so what would happen is they would freeze it. They would check it and then freeze it right away. And then it would take time to ship it to wherever it was going. So this Rav in Morocco wanted to know about it because there is a chumrah in the Gaonim. In the time of the Gaonim, there was a chumrah that meat that has not been salted within 3 days of being slaughtered, within 3 days of being shechted, can no longer, the Gaonim held, be properly salted. The claim was, the worry was, that the salt dries into the animal so much, the blood dries into the animal so much that you can no longer get it out in the conventional ways of salting and soaking, and therefore, all those kinds of meat, they said you'd have to roast it, right? Roasting meat always gets out all of the blood, but you'd have to roast it, and you don't always want to have to roast it. So That was the question. You want to know, what about Basar Kofu? It's there for more than 3 days. So Rav Yosef said, you know, I already dealt with this actually 40 years ago. This is 1991, so he's only 71. He's not like he's the oldest man in the world. 40 years ago, he said, Bimei Chorfi, when I was a young man, I dealt with it, and I thought it was mutter. I thought you could be lenient about it, that if you do Malik Obishul, he held that if you soak and salt it, right, you salt and soak it, and then you cook it, it should be fine, and he's already published it in the second volume of Yabia Omer, and that's the Pashut Minog, the simple custom, according to many, many important rabbis. So this Rav of Morocco had found a tshuva in a book of Shut called Shemesh Tzedakah, so who had said, we don't use meat after 3 days. Rav Yosef says, you got the wrong Minog there. There, it was... the Gaonim we're talking about, not when it was frozen, it was just when it was left. So that was the problem. The Gaonim we're talking about, the Shemesh Tzedakah was talking about people who left it 3 days without salting, and that's what the Gaonim had. He said people who were using the meat anyway, saying you're not keeping what the Gaonim said, and the problem was that we think that it's dried inside, as we said already. And what had happened was, in the time of Shemesh Tzedakah, there were people who came along, as will happen, and said, oh, the Gaonim didn't know what they're talking about. You can see that when we salt and soak it, there's all this red stuff comes out, so it's clearly not too dried in. And that's what the Shemesh Tzedakah was very upset about. They were ignoring the Gaonim, not understanding what the Gaonim had said, and therefore getting it wrong. And that comes up in more than one halachic issue. Now Rav Yosef says, and I can see from your letter, that you think the fact that we freeze the meat even more so makes the blood dry into the animal, and therefore it should be the same problem as the Gaonim. I mean, the Gaonim worried about, you leave it for 3 days, the blood dries in so much it can't get it out anymore except by roasting it. So if I freeze it, the blood really dries up. That's what this Rav from Morocco had said. But Rav Yosef says it's the opposite, because it's the clock doesn't start ticking, and he points out that the Aruch HaShulchan had already said it. The Aruch HaShulchan in Samach Tet, Sivkat and Ayin Tet, it said that in the winter, right, so the Aruch HaShulchan living at the time when I don't think they had, you know, refrigeration that would create freezing yet, but they did have, if you left things outside in the winter, you had nature's freezer. So he says, in the winter, when meat gets frozen right away, and it's like hard as a rock because of the cold, all that time, he says, is not counted in the 3 days. Why not? Since it's hard as a stone, is the comparison he uses, then you can't talk about the blood drying up, because the blood isn't doing anything. Right? The point of drying up is the blood sort of is a liquid, and it seeps into whatever it is, and it gets well embedded in there, but that's only when it's moving around as a liquid. But if you dry it wherever it is by freezing it, it's not going anywhere. And therefore, he says that none of that is considered part of the 3 days, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. And Shut Emek Halacha, who was a ancestor of my wife's, Rav Yehoshua Baumel. He also had held the same way that basar that got frozen from the cold, then you don't have to worry about the blood having been dried up. And then Rav Yosef says, and I always love this phrase when I see it, he uses it not only about Rav Moshe Feinstein, but he uses it about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Hagaon Mofet Hador. He probably, right? Well, Feit Hador is what he would have said. The wonder of the generation. It's always striking to me also that it's Rav Yosef saying about Rav Moshe Feinstein, because Rav Moshe Feinstein's greatest skills, from the little I know of him, were not in the wide breadth of his knowledge. He doesn't quote 15, 20, 30 books of response in every tshuva. He knows lots of important things, and he knows it really, really well. But he works with a much more restricted library than Rav Yosef did, and yet Rav Yosef has this tremendous respect for him. I think it's a remarkable thing to be able to see the admiration for somebody whose skills were so different than Rav Yosef's skills and talents were. So he was also asked about this, about meat that's frozen. And he was, Rav Yosef was, I'm sorry, Rav Moshe Feinstein was surprised at the people who were stringent about it. He says, because it's clear that it doesn't dry into the animal if he says, first of all, it's only a chumrah of the goanim, and now you're going to, because of a chumrah of the goanim, a stringency of the goanim, you're going to go further and say, we know that they would have meant it in frozen meat too. He says, it's not true. It's at best a machloket, and he says, he doesn't think you should go lakula, and especially because it makes sense that way, that it's not moving at all when it's frozen. So he says, so if it's in the freezer, he thinks it's not a problem. But in a refrigerator, that's probably, you might have thought, well, if I'm going to say it that way, then what if I just put it in a cold room? So it's not frozen hard like a rock, but it's cold enough that the blood isn't really moving around a lot, right? Liquid moves much more slowly, even when it's just very cold, let alone frozen. But he says, no, in a mekarer, it's not hard enough that he thinks you would make that isser, and that's the way he goes. And he agreed, and he repeated that Rav Moshe Feinstein in a later volume of Igrot Moshe as well. So then Rav Yosef points out, and by the way, the whole chumrah of the goanim, like I said, was a stringency of theirs. Not everybody agrees to it. The Rivash, when he was talking about it, points out that the Rambam and the Rashba don't mention it. It's a chumrah, but since people keep it, and there's no reason not to keep it, we should keep it. But it's a chumrah of the goanim. And there was a Sefer of Shutim, of response called Sefer Yehoshua, who had pointed out that we should keep it because it's a chumrah of the goanim, but it's only a suffix, it's only a doubt, and therefore he held that if one cooked such meat, not realizing it, so we wouldn't eat such meat because we think after 3 days, if you cooked it, it doesn't get the blood out, and therefore it's not really kosher meat. What about the pots and the pans? So he said all you'd have to do is wait 24 hours, because we hold an halacha that after 24 hours, whatever taste was there is lesser taste, and therefore it doesn't have the full impact and full force of the taste, and therefore he thought that after 24 hours, you'd be allowed to use those pots, because again, it's a chumrah of the goanim, so it's an important balance to watch people striking. It's not, we're going to ignore it, but we have to keep in mind exactly the level of prohibition that it is to know how it does or doesn't affect us going forward. And by the way, even if there was actual blood there, if once one cooked it or salted it, but then it got left there, right? So that's a problem, but it's a problem derabanan, and that will affect our attitude towards it as well. Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski has a letter where he also allowed meat that had been frozen outside of Israel and brought to Israel. He allowed, once one soaked and salted and soaked it and then cooked it, he said that should be allowed. He thought it was a shot at the cock because that was the only place to get good meat, but he allowed it. And so too many others. It's Aftas Paneach, Rav Rogatchover, Rav Yaakov Weinberger, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Important Rabbanim had all agreed that when it comes to Basar Kafu, we can rely on the idea that when it's frozen solid, the blood doesn't move at all, and that doesn't affect the time clock on the soaking and on the salting and soaking, and therefore it should be okay, especially when that's the minhag lakula. And they says, by the way, there are people, he calls them Haredim Dvar Hashem, who are very stringent about halacha, very careful, so they make sure to buy glatt meat from a local shkita, even though it costs them lots and lots of money, but Rav Yosef thinks there's room to be made, there's room to be lenient, and he doesn't say it, but I would just throw in that in all these kinds of cases, whatever the answer would be here, in all these kinds of cases, if one develops a chumrah that then costs a lot of money to people, so it's important for people to think about the consequences of that, right? So if these charedim want meat for Yom Tov, and it's become accepted that you can't rely on this kula, that adds a whole level of cost to a certain kind of a lifestyle, and every time we do that, it has ripple effects on all sorts of other things. So I think it's something not to to push aside lightly. Rav Yosef here is not pushing aside lightly either way. He's trying to be, I think, respectful to those who have chosen to be machmir. He doesn't say what his personal practice was, so I have no idea. But and then he says, and those who are going to be lenient and use this meat, it would be even better if after malicha v'hadacha, after salting and soaking it, if they would then. So I don't know if you want to do this in terms of meat, because it might ruin the meat in terms of cooking for other things. That might be an issue for restaurants or whatever. But if you then put it, not for very long, in boiling hot water. So he doesn't mean boil the meat. He means just put it in boiling hot water for a minute or two. So then you'll have another cooler to add to it, because there is a cooler that says that the chalita works, chalita berotkim works in for blood as well. That if one, you know, flash boils blood, that also lowers the level of prohibition there, and that would add to it. So these, that was another idea of it. So two tshuvos of Rav Yosef for the 22nd of Cheshvan. First is ideas about marinayin, where we have to worry about marinayin, and then his ideas about basar kof, about frozen meat, and what we can do with that. And that is Rav Yosef for the 22nd of Cheshvan. Have a great day.